Hello friends, I'm Pastor Paul Abloe of Haggai Ministry, Cherubim and Seraphim. I'm inviting you to join us. We're going to be having some interesting teachings that will bless you and will be transformational. You can connect with us on our YouTube pages, our Facebook pages, which will be highlighted on the screen. Remain blessed as you connect with us. Glory to Jesus in the highest. Holy Spirit of our Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Senior partner of the church, take preeminence. Give voice to your word today. And let all the viewers be blessed. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Today, I bring to you a message titled, Keeping His Instruction. Keeping His Instruction. Instruction is one of the foremost privileges all believers are given access to have. But having instruction is not enough. Keeping it is what makes the difference. Hallelujah. Keeping instruction is what makes the difference. Our anchor scripture will be taken from John chapter 14 and verses 21. Whoever has my command and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him too, and I will show myself to them. In other words, I will reveal myself to them. I will manifest myself to them. In that scriptural verse, Jesus connects love with keeping of his instruction. He connects love with keeping his instruction. Many of us claim we love Jesus. How much we love Jesus, but Jesus is saying, if you have my instruction, because we can interchange instruction and command, they all mean the same thing. If you have my instructions and you keep them, that means to walk in them, that means to submit to them, that means to obey them. He says, then you love me. That is a proof of love. So Jesus defines love and connects it with keeping of his instruction. Another thing he tells us here is that he will manifest himself. So keepers of instruction, those who keep or walk in God's instruction, don't need much of a struggle to encounter God's manifestation. He naturally manifests himself to them. Hallelujah. And I pray for somebody today that God will manifest himself to you in the name of Jesus. Instruction means many things, but we're going to take three things that instruction means. Number one, instruction means light. It means light. In John chapter 8 and in verses 12, Bible says, and Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of this world, and whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. The light of life is the light that Jesus gives to men to see as he wants them to see. Anyone who is not following him or who has not had a transaction where Jesus has become the shepherd of his soul and he's beginning to live a life where the flesh dies daily cannot encounter this life, this light. But I pray for you that you will connect with the light of Jesus in the name of Jesus, because this light allows you to see as Jesus wants you to see. We will not be blind in the world in Jesus' name. Number two, it speaks direction. Instruction connects direction. And how blessed are believers to be connected to Jesus who instructs us by giving us direction on how or where we should go. You will agree with me that any man who does not have direction is a confused man and will never get anywhere. But when Jesus directs, it makes everything easy. Hallelujah. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Bible tells us that
I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way to go. He uses the word teach. That's to show that we need to learn on the path that we should go. And until we submit to his instruction, we might miss the path that he has ordained for us to go. You can imagine in the scriptures that Isaac was asked initially, was directed to go to Gerar. There he will be blessed. But seeing the situation in Gerar, famine and all of that, he thought to himself, let me move to Egypt. He wanted to change the course of direction. But by mercies of God, God spoke to him and instructed him, stay in Gerar. That is where you'll be blessed. So a lot of us have left the direction of God and we are elsewhere. And that's why things are not working. But I ask and I appeal to you today that you return back to where God has directed you to be in the name of Jesus. The third thing is that instruction also represents information. Sometimes when God instructs you, the instruction is just filled with information. Information that helps you to understand how to relate with him, how to communicate with him, or how to walk with him. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendant of Jacob, are not destroyed. In that verse, you can see that God changeth not. That means that when the word tells us that God does not lie, it means he does not change. He cannot lie. So it helps us to kind of understand what God is saying per time. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. In the beginning, God blessed man with three tangible blessings. And number one is work. We all agree and we all know how blessed work has been to man. Work has been a blessing to so many. And number two, he gave us a tangible blessing, which is instruction. And number three, he presented the helpmeet. But in these three tangible blessings, he only put his claws on one, and that is in his instruction. Hallelujah. In Job chapter 3 and verses 16, the Bible tells us that God opened the ears of men and he sealed therein instruction. He opened the ears of men and he sealed therein instruction. In another one, he tells them, he terrifies them with warning. Terrifies them, warning, guiding them, telling them, this is the way to go. This is not the way to go. Stop, move. Hallelujah. And I know that if any one of us will have access to instruction, there will be breakthrough after breakthrough in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We all know that the first man did not heed God's instruction. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17 that the Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for when you eat, you shall certainly die. That was a clause behind his instruction. And that was the first time God was going to introduce instruction to man. Now, we all know the story. The first man didn't even heed that instruction. And we know the consequences that followed that instruction. The consequences was that he lost his estate. Number one, he found himself in nakedness. He found himself in shame. He was locked out of his possession. And then he had to struggle to live. And we find that even after Jesus have reconciled us back to the Father, a lot of believers are still not partaking in the keeping of his instruction. A lot of people are still not listening to his instruction. A lot of people are still not walking in his instruction. And they have plunged themselves into situations which they should never have any business with. Like a lot of people struggling, a lot of difficult challenges, a lot of people in confused state, a lot of people failing where they should not be failing, because they have left God's instruction. God's instruction is very tangible and is something to be held tightly. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, take firm hold of my instruction. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. God connects his instruction to life. God again here connecting his instruction to life. So what will happen if a man neglects instruction that gives or sustains life? It means that such a man will probably find himself in the place of death. I pray that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. What can we term instruction to be? Instruction is divine life education from God to man. Divine life education from God to man. Anytime God instructs us, it becomes like God is educating man. It comes like an education to man. We become aware. We become enlightened. The things we didn't know before, we begin to acquire them as knowledge, as understanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's number two thing. What can we term instruction to be? We can term instruction to be as the impact of God's knowledge. The impact of God's knowledge. We all know knowledge is information. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 7. He said, the fear of God, the reverential fear of God, the kind of fear that Joseph had. How can I do this wicked thing to my God? He said, that is the beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning of knowledge. He said, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. May you not be counted as a fool in your life journey in the name of Jesus. What can we term instruction to be? Instruction is God's will for you in his law, in his command, in his decrees, in his statutes, his ordinances, his demands, and all that he wants you to do. Hallelujah. So when you obey these instructions that he gives to you, you are actually fulfilling the will of God for you in his life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I know that somebody is already getting understanding right now in the name of Jesus. Keepers of instruction. Who are keepers of his instruction? Keepers of instruction are people who obey God's voice. They obey God's instruction. They obey what God wants them to do. They are committed to keeping it. They are committed to walking in it. They are committed to submitting in it. They do this because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19 and in verse 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. That means bringing the soul out of soreness, refreshing it, reviving it, revamping it out of depression, out of suicidal thinking and suicidal thought, out of confusion. When you keep his instruction, you are refreshed. Your soul is revamped, is energized again. And I pray for somebody whose soul have been in a state of depression, in a state of confusion, that you receive refreshing this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Many people today claim to love God. When we ask believers, you love Jesus? They say they love Jesus. But the truth is that they are just exposed to the truth. They are truth exposed. A lot of people know what is right for them to do. They are exposed to the truth. They know the covenant they are meant to keep. They know they are meant to keep their vows. They know they are not meant to break their vows. They know they are to walk in holiness. They know all these things. But they are only truth exposed. They are not truth transformed. They are truth exposed. They are not truth transformed. Because when the unbelievers connect with some believers, they still don't understand why they call themselves believers, because they do exactly what they do. But a man who keeps God's instruction is a peculiar man. Is a peculiar man, because you begin to see a different nature in operation. And I pray that the nature of Jesus will be seen manifest in your life in the name of Jesus. Jesus is seeking those who will walk in his instruction, those who will keep his instruction. When you keep God's instruction, you are glorifying the name of the Lord. When you keep God's instruction, you are exalting His word. You are exalting His word. And how beautiful it is when we exalt the word of God. I pray that God will bring us into understanding concerning this topic, keepers of His instruction, in the name of Jesus. There are many things that are happening now, and every segment of our life that Jesus has given to us has an instruction backing them on how we will operate in them. We find out today that marriage instruction have been truncated by those who are ignorant and unstable. They have made the instruction guiding marriage. Hence, multiple divorces and separation everywhere. You know, and these people continually flag teachings and statements that do not coincide with God's instruction. If you look at the instruction given to on how we should be diligent and how to operate in our vocation, in our careers, you find out that this also has been truncated. If you find about the instruction on how we should live with our neighbors, all these have been marred with neglect of God's instruction and people initiating and inventing their own ways on how to deal with their neighbors or how to work with their neighbors. And all we see this result to is trouble, 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 trouble. And I pray in the name of Jesus, someone somewhere that is tired of struggling, tired of being in obscurity, will rush back to begin to walk in God's instruction in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 50 and verse 17, it says, "You hate my instruction and you cast my word behind." He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to his children that you hate my instruction and you are casting my words behind. To cast the word of God behind is like saying you cast Jesus behind, because Jesus is the word. The word is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we should embrace His instruction and love His word, not hate His instruction and cast His word. I pray for those who have been deceived today that yoke is broken in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. John 15 verses 10 teaches us, "If you keep my command, you will remain in my love." Again, Jesus interpreting and connecting, keeping His instruction with love. He said, "I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love." If we say Jesus is our example, why will we not keep His command just as He kept His Father's command? He tells us in John 15:10 that "I also kept my Father's command and remain in His love. To remain in God's love means to remain in God's love. To remain in God's love means to be connected perpetually to His word of truth, to His word of life. In the name of Jesus, I pray for all those who are disconnected by the deception of Satan, that the Lord Almighty Father will bring you back to His word in the name of Jesus. There's an old saying, "What will you do? What will I do if Jesus was in this situation?" That's an old saying from our old fathers of faith. That's what they say. What will you do when they teach? What will you do if Jesus was in this situation? What will He have done? Whatever He has instructed you to do is what He will have done. Whatever Jesus have instructed you to do in whatever circumstance or whatever situation is what He will have done. His instruction is a shared knowledge. It's just like a man who has data and decides to share with his family. He's sharing knowledge with you, sharing wisdom with you, sharing understanding with you. And when you walk and keep this that he's sharing with you, you will have peace. You will have success. Your burdens will be lifted off your shoulder. Your confusion will be blown away from you. And I pray that as I've decreed, so shall it be over your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Modeling after the Father was one thing that Jesus did. Jesus modeled after the Father. In John 14 and verses 9, Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, don't you know me, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." This should be the same saying with us, that if anyone encounters us or anyone meets us, then he will say, "Oh, truly, I have met Jesus." Because Jesus was obedient. Jesus was submissive. Jesus was humble. Jesus did not go around in pride. He did not walk in pride. Hallelujah. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. Why can't we do what God is instructing us to do? I pray that God will give us understanding in Jesus' mighty name. Our Lord will pray. How do we identify keepers of God's instruction? How do we identify keepers of God's, those who keep God's instruction? How do we identify them? Number one, we identify them because they are believers who shine the light of Christ. They are believers who shine the light of Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and in verses 6, it tells us, Matthew chapter 5 and verses 16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine that others will see them and give glory to your Father." Let your light so shine that others will see and they will give glory to your Father. Now the question is, how do I shine this light of Christ that is in me? Number one, you shine the light of Christ by giving justice in truth without sentiment, without looking at the status. Where there is a need for justice to be dispensed, you dispense it in truth. In that way, whoever that was in need of that justice, maybe someone lowly or somebody high, it will connect with the light that exudes from you. Hallelujah. Number two, we shine forth his light by walking in the attitude of love. Praise God. By walking in the attitude of love. There are instructions that God has commanded us on how to walk in love. When we do that in our community, in our workplace, with our neighbors, we shine the light of Christ. Praise God. Number three, we shine the light of Christ when we are committed and obedient to his instruction. Now, when people see one who is committed and obedient to God's instruction, what it does to them, that it stirs them up to want to believe. It stirs them up to want to associate, to connect to Jesus. It stirs them up to want to have a relationship with them. So you shine the light of Christ by walking in obedience, committed to his instruction. Number four, you shine the light of Christ by living a life of sacrificial service to benefit those who are disadvantaged. You live a life of sacrificial service to benefit those who are disadvantaged, that they may be brought into their own, the purpose which God has ordained for them. Hallelujah. Number two here we're going to be looking at is the work of God. How do we identify those who keep God's instruction? They have a work of God that they perform. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 10, is it, "For we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good work which God prepared in advance for us to do." Hallelujah. God prepared a good work in advance for us to do before us came to be. He prepared before the foundations of the world. He has prepared this work. Now, what is this good work? Praise God. Now, when we talk about the good work, we know that Jesus has done the good work, because Jesus has brought salvation and grace to us. So that good work Jesus has done. But there is one prepared for his children, one that is prepared for believers, which we are expected to do. And that work, good work, is found in John chapter 6 from verses 28 to 29. The Bible says, and they asked him, what must we do to do the good work God requires? What must we do to do the good work God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. To believe in the one he sent. A lot of believers today have the problem of believing in Jesus. They have a problem to believe or believing in Jesus. One of the foremost problem we have in the community of believers is the attitude of believing. It is very scarce. There is a dearth of it. Hallelujah. But I pray for somebody that as we go into this teaching, that God will open your eyes and show you that there have been those who have gone ahead of you who had believed in Jesus and have stirred others to believe in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8 and in verses 35, the Bible tells us that Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He was trying to say, what is it that could stop me from keeping God's instruction? Because, you know, as we earlier discussed here, God connected love to keeping, to walking in his instruction. So Paul here is asking, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or danger or nakedness or danger or sword? See, who shall separate us? Now, what does this scripture mean in Romans 8:35? This scripture is telling us that Paul is saying, no matter the barrage of trouble, no matter the barrage of challenges that might come to the face of a believer, he will be committed in keeping Christ's instruction. He will not be distracted. That persecution cannot distract him. That famine will not stop him from keeping God's instruction. That trouble, hardship will not hinder him from keeping God's instruction. He will continue to live in the joy of the Holy Ghost. He will continue to worship the Lord in trouble, in hardship. He will continue to serve the Lord even with sword, even when in danger. He will continue. He has placed God's instruction above his life. Listen, and that's where we're going. He has placed God's instruction above his life. Keepers of instruction are simply doing what God did. The Bible says God has magnified his word above his name. He has magnified his word above his name. So Paul here in Romans 8 and 35 is also telling you and telling I that we should hold on to God's instruction. Because when you keep God's word or you keep his instruction, you are simply holding on to Jesus. And I pray for those who have let Jesus go, that God will strengthen you to go back and hold on to him. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 47, it says, for I delight in your command because I love them. I delight. It is not under, they are not keeping God's instruction under pressure. No, it's not under pressure. It's not under pressure. It's not because of what he wants to do for them. He said, I delight in your command because I love them. It is connected with love. It is that they love this instruction because they have found that this instruction is perfect and it refreshes the soul. The Bible says, your statutes are trustworthy. They are trustworthy, making the simple wise. In other words, the foolish man now came and connected his life to the instruction of Jesus Christ. And as he began to walk in it, he began to notice that people now are beginning to respond to me as though I'm now a wise man. So they said the status of the Lord are trustworthy. He ventured into it and he was not disappointed. He ventured into it and there was no shame there. Hallelujah. I pray for those of you who are dilly-dallying, thinking, should I go? Should I hold on? Should I obey? Should I walk in it? I'm encouraging you. Walk in it. Walk in it. Don't allow the trouble of this world to get you off the cliff. Don't allow the trouble of this world to get you off the cliff. The enemy uses all manner of weapon to get people off the cliff. There are so many great and wonderful people that are off the cliff today just because they could not stick to God's instruction. I pray for you. Whatever is dragging you out of his instruction today is arrested in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We also want to look at this, that the good work of stirring people to believe in Jesus. Stirring people to believe in Jesus. We have looked at one in Romans 8:35, where Paul has stirred so many people, saying, look, trouble, danger, sword can't hinder us from keeping whatever he has asked us to do. And I pray that you also will be connected to this in the name of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 3:17-18, very key here. This one says, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us and he will deliver us. But if he does not, and that's what I want you to pay attention to, because a lot of people believe in Jesus is because he can, because he is able to, but they are bringing the perspective that God, you know, gave to us in John 6:28-29, to believe in the one that he has sent, to believe in the one that he has sent. He said, but if he does not, know this, they say, if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. Listen, these guys were about to be plunged into debt. It was to be the end of their life. But they held on to the instruction of God. How many believers today can we find holding on to God's instruction in time of difficult challenges? How many? That's why they say there is no temptation that is not common to man. Because if you say your own temptation is huge, look at these guys. They were faced with fire and, to be smoked out by the fire. But yet, they kept God's instruction. Where did they get that instruction? They got it from Leviticus 26:1. The Bible says, do not make idol or set carved image or sacred pillars or sculpture stones in your land so you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. That one instruction they have heard about not worshiping idols or bowing down to carved images, they held on to it even to the point of death, disgracing the enemy of death. Disgracing the enemy of death. That our God's instruction is more tangible than our life. And you know what Jesus said? He said, anybody who tried to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life will save it. Hallelujah. These guys' lives were saved. And I pray for somebody who has been in the struggle to say, look, this thing is staring me in the face. And he's trying to compromise. I urge you not to compromise, but to stick to God's command. And you will be surprised that Jesus will appear, because he has never forsaken any man. And he will not forsake you in this day in the name of Jesus. Psalm 97:7. It says, all who worship idols are fools and they will be put to shame. All who worship images are put to shame. Those guys know that if they ever bow down to those idol or they ever worshiped the carved image that was set up, they will be put to shame, and they refused it. I am urging you, those of you who are in difficult challenges now, and they are asking you to bow down to certain things, bow down to certain things that are not related, connected, associated to your God. Do not bow down, because even if you bow, you will still be put to shame. But I pray for you, if you will resist it and you will trust God, God will not allow that shame to come to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is somebody blessed already? Is somebody blessed already? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're still talking about keepers of God's instruction. Keepers of God's instruction. And I want you to understand that God's instruction, when given out, is given out of his integrity. When God gives out his instruction, he's giving you the absolute truth. That means if you follow it, whatever the challenge is, you will come out of it. Listen to me. Don't look at the circumstance around you. The circumstance around Isaac was that there was famine in the land. There had been no rain. But God's instruction was able to fertilize the ground, was able to cause the ground to yield fruit. That means the word that I give to you is spirit and it is life. In John 6 and chapter 63, the word that I give to you is spirit and it's life. The instruction that I'm giving to you is spirit and it's life. It's able to change anything. A lot of you are confused. You hold the word, you look at your situation, and you are comparing the situation with his instruction. The instruction he's giving to you is Jesus walking with you. I don't know, maybe somebody gets what I'm saying. The instruction he has given to you is Jesus walking with you. If only you will step into the instruction, you will see Jesus walking, pulling your hands ahead of you. And I pray for all those who are distressed, all those who are challenged, all those who are completely down, their soul is sawed down, that I want you to rise up, go back to his instruction, walk in it, and you will have your deliverance instantly in the name of Jesus Christ. One thing you must know, that you are a stranger on earth. And it is completely, stunning to find people who are connected to the kingdom of heaven listening to a stranger's voice. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3 and verses 20, it said, we are citizens, our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly await our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Our citizenship is from where? In heaven. Your citizenship is not from the world. Your citizenship is not from the world system that the enemy has put in place. Your citizenship is in heaven. And so, where should instruction come from? If your citizenship is from heaven, his instruction should come from there, not from the world system. A lot of you are listening to the world, and that's why you are not coming out of your mess. A lot of you are listening to strangers' voices, and that's why you are still immersed in your mess. But I pray for you today that spell over your life that allows you to listen to strangers' voice is hereby broken in the name of Jesus. Is hereby broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Your citizenship is in heaven. Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. I know them and they follow me. John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep, he hears my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, listen to me. A stranger cannot go into the flocks of sheep and begin to call upon them. They will not follow him because they are not used to his voice. They are not used to his voice. But if the shepherd which they are familiar with whistle after them, they will respond because they are familiar with his voice. Those of you neglecting, disdaining God's instruction, most of you have associated yourself with the world system. That's why you can't hear his instruction. I pray that you be disconnected from the world system, because the world system will eventually plunge you into disaster. But I want you to be connected, to return back to the voice of your shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is asking you, walk with me. Do these things that I'm saying that you should do. Obey me, and you will have relief. You will have relief. Joy will return. And I pray for all of you that are so much in need of joy, that your joy has come today in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4 and verse 5, it said, they are of the world, so they speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the people of the world listen to them. You are not of this world. You are in the world, but you are not of this world. That's what Jesus said. He said, you are in the world, but you are not of this world. This guy speaking in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 5, they are of the world and speak from the world viewpoint. And the world listen to them. You find a lot of believers associating their understanding with the understanding of those people that are speaking from the world viewpoint. And you begin to wonder, are these ones actually connected to the kingdom? Are they connected to the kingdom? You are not of this world, but you are in the world. Your citizenship is in heaven. So your focus should be to listen to the instruction of the king, to focus and listen to the one who guides you where your citizenship is from. But unfortunately, a lot of people have been deceived, and the world is telling them, don't mind them. Have they been to heaven before? All these things they are telling you, you only have one life. Enjoy your life. Do as you will. Nobody knows where they are going. That's not true. Jesus knows where people are going. He knows there is a narrow road and there is a wide road. I pray you not fall into the wide path in the name of Jesus. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 31, God is crying out to this generation, even as he's crying out, even as I teach today again. He said, you of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. Have I been a desert to Israel, or a dark land, or have I been a land of darkness? Why do you say, we are free to roam, and we shall not come to you no more? Why do people say, look, we are free to do whatever we want to do? A price has been paid on your life. You are not free to do whatever you choose to do. There is a payment on your life. You are not free to do whatever you choose to do. If you are in the world, you are free to do as you please. But if you are in this kingdom, you are not free to do as you please. You do what is right, what is permissible for you. Hallelujah. And I pray that God will give people understanding in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. To anchor this discussion on stranger's voice and keepers of God's instruction. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verses 22, Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? That's a question he was asking Saul. What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offering and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? He's asking him, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Is it your burnt offering and your sacrifice, or your obedience to the Lord? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. We know a lot of people think they can hoodwink the hand of God. You go all out, breaking all his instructions, and you say you want to bring sacrifices to his house. Those sacrifices, he does not need them. Your sacrifices, he does not want. What he seeks from you is your obedience. What he seeks from you is for you to keep his instruction. What he seeks from you is for you to be obedient, to be submissive to what he has asked you to do. He says obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission much better than the offering of your fat of rams. He's telling those who think they can buy God over, just for you to know that your buying is a waste, because God will not attend to them until you plunge yourself into his obedience. Hallelujah. Praise God. How do we get instructed? Many people were asking, okay, we've been talking about instruction all the while. How do I get to be instructed by God? Number one, by reading and meditating on the book of instruction. That's the holy book, the Holy Bible. By reading and meditating on the word of instruction. The Bible says that let this book of law not depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do all that is written in them. Did you see that? Be careful to keep all my instructions that are written in them. He said, then you make your way successful and prosperous. Joshua chapter 1 and in verses 8. How do we get instructions from God? We get instructions from God from, in the scripture tells us in Job 33, 14 to 17, that God speaks again and again. Though the people do not recognize it, he speaks in dreams, in visions. When deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds, he whispers to people and terrifies them with warning, warning them not to do what is wrong or what will plunge them into trouble. The Bible says he makes them turn from doing wrong and it keeps them from pride. So you get instructed from God by dreams, by visions that he shows to you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. How do we get instructed? You get instructions like this message I'm sharing with you now. I'm sure it's speaking many languages to so many people that have so many issues with God's instruction. And I pray that you have found your own word in this message in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're also going to look at the benefits. The benefits. What are the benefits of God's instruction? Number one, benefit of God keeping God's instruction, or that is entitled to those who keep God's instruction, is it averts deaths. Many people died before their time because they neglected God's instruction. Many people are locked up somewhere now where they shouldn't be because of the neglect of God's instruction. Many people are in certain position now because of their disdain to God's instruction. Hallelujah. It averts death. The Bible says in 1 Kings 20 and verse 1, in those days, Hezekiah was deadly ill. In those days, Hezekiah, the king, was deadly ill. In other words, Hezekiah was ill and was at the verge of death. He was ill and was at the verge of death. But in 1 Kings 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, Isaiah said, bring some lumps of figs. And as they took those lumps and put them on the sore skin, the Bible says he lived. So death was averted, he was healed. Death was averted, he was healed. In Genesis 22 and verse 17 to 18, we see God giving eternal blessing to those who keep his instruction. God gave an eternal blessing, tying the keepers of his instruction to an eternal blessing. The Bible says, and God swore by himself and declares, because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son. He said, I will bless you. He's talking to Abraham. He said, I will bless you. And I will make your descendant numerous as the star in the sky, and numerous as the sands of the seashore, and your descendants will overrun the cities of their enemies. They will possess the cities of their enemies. So we see one of the benefits, another benefit of keeping God's instruction is giving eternal blessings, a blessing that doesn't stop just on the person. It connects the lineage of that person and it flows down. And I pray that somebody who has been blessed with this message will be connected today to God's blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus in the highest. Another thing that it does is that you see the almightiness of God. You connect to the almightiness of God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verses 3, Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance. He begged the Lord for advice. What news did Jehoshaphat heard? King Jehoshaphat heard that three nations were coming against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Three nations, three kings, and the nations were coming after them. Hallelujah. And in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, the Bible says, as they were praying, as they were seeking the face of God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehiel. And he said, listen, all people of Judah and Jehoshaphat, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by the mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. And we see in that battle that they didn't even need to fight. What a wonder. They didn't need to fight. God only commanded them, instructed them, go on the mountain. They'll be coming out from this side of the mountain. Just go there. And they began to sing and began to praise, and the Lord ambushed them. When you keep God's instruction, he ambushes your enemy. I pray for someone who has been seeking for God's help, that as you return to his instruction, your enemies will be ambushed. Your enemies will be ambushed. Your enemies will be ambushed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This teaching on instruction is to drag us, or to pull us back in to the path that the Lord has ordained for us. A lot of people are off the cliff now. A lot of people are off the cliff as I speak. A lot of people are far, far from the Lord. But I pray that after hearing this message, that the Lord Almighty Father will pull you back and you will begin to walk in his instruction. Instruction keepers are God's beloved. Instruction keepers are those who exalt the name of the Lord. Instruction keepers are those who magnify the Lord. Glory to Jesus. And I pray that this message be a blessing to you all in Jesus' name. If you have not met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I ask that you surrender to him today, and you will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, viewers. I hope you were blessed by the message you just heard. We hope to bring more messages that will be transformational to your life and will be a blessing to you. See you next time. Thank you. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign. You are the King who reigns in all the earth.